greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Bring you greetings from some of the churches in Southern Belize. As I was already blessed this morning greatly by the different things that, by the Sunday school hour, and by the opening, I was thinking of all the different experiences that are here in this place this morning. You know, people here that have been in Ukraine, Romania, China, different places over there. People have been different places in Central America and all over. And the experiences that different ones have experienced. And also many experiences of sorrow, of losing loved ones, of so many different experiences that are here this morning. And we can learn from each other. And through it all, it's God that has been directing us and keeping us. I hope to stir up our hearts and minds this morning. I'm not really used to being in front of a big audience, so I feel somewhat nervous, a little bit out of place here. But a couple weeks ago, I was thinking, all of a sudden, this thought popped in my mind. It was this song that we used to sing in school, A Sermon in Shoes. You know, I hadn't thought about that for a long time. And all of a sudden, that kind of came into my mind. I don't know if they still sing it or not. But it has many good thoughts in there. And we all have a sermon. I don't know how much time we have prepared for our sermon. You know, each day we have a sermon. It's a little different than coming up here, and yet it's just as important or more important, our sermon. It's more important in the fact that up here we can speak idealistic and we can have ideals and speak about them, but we can live something else. But we trust that's not the case, although there's always somewhat of a discrepancy between what we say and what we do. The less discrepancy there is between that, the more influence we have, the more we can, you could say, walk in the truth. So, this morning, although the things I will share are things that I feel I'm in need of. It's not things speaking to you, but speaking to myself also. I was thinking of purposeful living. Purposeful living. Living intentionally. Living and doing things for a purpose. You oppose the purposeless, wandering aimlessly, living aimlessly, just doing what comes next. Sometimes we kind of fall into that. We end up living one day after the other day, the next day it comes, the next week comes, the next month comes, and we're just living, and we sometimes we tend to lose our purpose. Or we forget why we're here. We forget what we're living for. At least for me, that's easy for me to do. I'm going to read a couple verses out of Matthew 16. Some words of Jesus here. Some powerful words. Matthew 16, verse 24 through 27. And when we think of purposeful, we think of intentional living. We think of being determined, of resolutely following or living in such a way as and want to follow. We want to live for the reason that we are here on earth for. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." So we see that even though maybe we don't receive a full reward right away, I believe there is reward waiting for us. But here it says if we deny ourselves and take up his cross. And the cross of Christ is an instrument of death. It's not something that we wear around our neck. It's not just a symbol, but it's an instrument of death. And when we decide to follow Christ, that means we are committed to him. We give up of ourselves. We give up our life. We give up what we want. We give up what we desire. We give up our plans because we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Thinking of living our lives in an intentional way, I have to think of my own life. Have I, with my responses, my choices, hindered the gospel in the life of my children, my neighbors, those I meet? You know, have I hindered the word of the gospel in their lives? There's also a song that says that we might be the only Bible that the world reads, the way we live our lives. So as we go from that day, we are reaching others. We are telling others something. But what are we telling them? Daniel 1:8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He made a resolution what he was going to do, how he was going to live. He made a resolution that he was going to follow what God wanted him to do. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He was by himself in a foreign country, taken captive. Hardly anybody around that knew him. And yet, Daniel and his three friends, they followed through with that. And we see how God honored them in many different ways, in many different situations. And we see that purpose following Daniel throughout his life. You know, he was in contact with the most powerful people in the government. And yet that did not affect his purpose. That did not affect the way he lived. That did not affect his following Christ or his following God. I think many times it would affect most of us probably, being in contact with many of the powerful people like Daniel was, that he could stand and that he was remained true to God is truly a testimony to his determination to live for God. We really appreciated the devotional last Sunday evening, that about running, the analogy there between running and spiritual and physical running and also spiritual running. Thinking of laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Living life with a purpose. That's what we do as we follow God. We lay aside those things. I was thinking, as strangers and pilgrims traveling through this life, sometimes we're carrying quite a bit of things with us. It doesn't really look like traveling. If we want to be successful in our Christian life, we need to have a purpose and we need to make decisions accordingly. Do I realize the decisions and choices I make today are not just ones that will affect me, but they will affect my children, my grandchildren, others around me. They will affect the coming generations, and we see that. We can look back on pictures from way back, and we see some of the choices that others have made and where they led. Some with good results, some with bad results. And today, we see people making choices. Some people are making choices that their children and grandchildren will never recover from. What is our purpose? How are we making our choices today? Do we have a purpose? Let's remember our purpose as we make our choices, that we would make the right choices, that we would make those choices that are not for our ease or convenience or our benefit, but ones that will help those around us and help those in future generations. One purpose we have here in life is to talk about what God has done. As we read through the Bible, the New Testament, and we look at the life of Jesus, and he did many miracles in the New Testament, and we see that he, many times it says, and his fame went abroad. Thinking about that, how did his fame get abroad? It was by people talking. And in the New Testament, Old Testament, it in Deuteronomy 6, the last part of Deuteronomy 6, it says that they should tell the children how God delivered them, or how God led them out of Egypt, and all the miracles that he did bringing them out. And so my question today is, how much are we talking about God? How much are we talking about Jesus, what he has done for us? Well, maybe we don't recognize all the things that Jesus has done for us. But it's important that we talk about him, that his fame goes abroad. Many times, maybe, it's not about us, but it's about God. It's about Jesus and what he has done. And so, to me, we need to talk about those things in our lives, and share with our children, share with those around us, the things that God does, the things that Jesus does for us. And even though they might be small things, to always have that, be willing and able to talk about that. Having a God consciousness, we touched on that a little bit in Sunday school. Having a consciousness of God around us at all times. Being able to pray without ceasing, as it were. Being in constant communion with God. As we go throughout the day, that we could have that. I want to read a portion out of Hebrews 11. These are people of faith. I think this is one of my favorite chapters. There are a number of them, but Hebrews 11 is a chapter that always inspires me because of the way these people responded. And in many ways, I believe this chapter still is not fully written. Because I think many other names will be added to this chapter, or could be added to these chapters, this chapter. I think it's good for us to read about these people and some of the choices they made and their purpose for making these choices. You know, sometimes I feel in my life maybe somewhat of a lethargy, maybe taking life just as it comes, and whatever comes, it must be all right. But many of these people here made choices, made distinct choices. Noah. He was surrounded by evil. He was by himself, and yet he stood. He built an ark. Verse 7 of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." From what it seemed like is that there had been no rain before this time. And Noah built an ark, something that he didn't know how it was going to float, maybe. He didn't know how. And yet God said, "Do this," and he did it. And by obeying God, he saved his family. He saved his house. Actually, you could say he saved mankind. Because from Noah, the rest of the earth was repopulated after a flood. We see Abraham is in this chapter. And I had to think of, we know the story of Abraham. We know the many, the different things about Abraham. We see him taking Isaac, his only son, and it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He didn't know why God was asking him for his son, and yet he trusted him through it. Also, I had to think of Abraham talking to Lot as they came into the land of Canaan there, and telling Lot, choose. There's too many animals, too many servants. There's being some problems, so we're going to need to separate a little ways. But you choose. Choose what you want. And we know what happened. Lot looked all around, and he seen the well-watered plain of Jordan. You know, he made his decision by looking at what he wanted. Lots of grass for his cows, lots of grass for whatever he had, his animals, and had a river there, everything was nice. Now, I don't know that his decision was wrong. And yet we do know he lost his family. Now, we might say he made a decision that was wise, according to the standards of this world, according to what we would say. And yet we see the end results of that. How many times do we make decisions according to what we see, according to what we want? And some of the results that they can have. I had to think of years ago, people moving down here to Missouri. A lot of people, a number of people from Ohio, some from Indiana, places that were, you could say were prospering back then. I don't think they came down here because they thought they could get rich here. I don't think they were necessarily well-watered plains of Jordan here. I was thinking, why would they choose to come down here? And I know my father, some of the family from up there, they were telling him what a mistake he's making by leaving up there. A foolish decision to come down here in the sticks, in the old darks. Everything's backwards down here. But you look where them families are now. I think the decision that my dad made to come down here, maybe he didn't know it then, but it was very wise. What decisions are we making today? What's our purpose? And why do we make the decisions that we're making? We're not wise enough to make those decisions on our own. I think we need God to help us. We need, and James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But so many times we already know. So many times we're already pretty wise. So many times we already know what we need or what we want. When you look at the end results of some choices, what a difference. Some people, the people that chose to remain there in some of the places, and maybe there are people that stayed there that have that made the right choice there too. But it's all behind in the purpose of what we do, why we do what we do. You're in someone analyzing history was not sure exactly where I got this, but they said there's three things that separated Anabaptists from the Protestants. This was years ago. It was like a three-legged stool. That's how they described it, a three-legged stool. One leg being non-resistance, one leg being non-conformity, and the third leg being simple living. My question is, which one are we most in danger of losing? Which leg? Because they say if one leg goes, the others follow. You can't keep balancing very well on two legs. So if we lose any of those legs, we tend to lose out. And so my question this morning is, which one is the weakest one? And we know that we're not trying to point fingers at groups or judge certain groups, but we want to follow God. We want to have a purpose in our life. We want to have a sermon that speaks truth each day as we meet others. Thinking of purpose and living. You know, we would recognize that God puts certain people in certain places at certain times. You know, we was down in Somersville last Sunday, and we went and visited Josh and Carrie there, and in the afternoon, and we seen some of the things of his accident that has him in a wheelchair. And then there we was talking about how that certain man was there as it happened, or right after it happened, that saved his life. He had to take out, he was somebody that knew how to do things, how to do that certain thing. He cut a little hole in his throat because Josh couldn't breathe. Cut a little hole, took apart a pen, shoved the pen down, and put air in his lungs so that he, until more help came. We'd say that was God. I don't think any of us would have any doubt. Now, how about we stop and put gas in the car? We have a $20 bill, we go in, we pay for the gas. Now, why did we stop there at that certain station at that time? Do we feel like God has a purpose for us being there? Or is it just to buy gas? Are we looking for opportunities? Maybe as simple as opening a door for somebody as we go in. Giving people a smile. Remember, we have a sermon and we're speaking throughout the day. You know, something big happens, we have no problem believing that God was in that circumstance. But what about all the small interactions that we have throughout the day? There's purpose and there's intent. But so many times we are so involved in our own world, in our own business, in accomplishing our thing. And that's what I feel in my life. I forget sometimes that I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for my business. I'm not here to do my own thing. It's all about God. And so God is in the little things. And we have to remember that as we go throughout the day. Thinking about what is our purpose in life, Earth, I have three points here, real quick. Jesus said, "I must do the will of him that sent me." That's the words of Jesus. My question to you this morning is, who sent you? You know, we didn't bring ourselves here to earth, but we are here because God sent us. So we are here to do the will of him that sent us. And some of us have different work. And we all know that Jesus had a special work. None of us could do his work. But we have a work. And we were sent. And we were not sent here to fulfill our desires or to do what we want. But we were sent so that we could do the will of him that sent us. Another purpose is an image bearer. You know, in Genesis, way back in Genesis, at the creation, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And sin has disfigured and disfaced man. And yet, Jesus came to reestablish that connection and to grant to us his image, and we are to bear his image. Jesus said in John 17 that we should bear his image. He didn't say it in those words, but bear his image in the way that Jesus bore the image of God. And I had to think of that in relation to, I think it was yesterday, we was out, went to the Norwood auction. There were some people there, and Regina went over and talked to one of the ladies there, and they said they knew who we were because they could see I was Moses' boy. I was bearing his image. I looked like him. So they knew where I belonged. They knew who I was. Do people know who we are? Are we bearing our Father's image? Our spiritual Father? Do people know us? They look at us. They see us. We're, oh yes, we know him. We can see his Father in his image. It's a challenge to do that as we go throughout life, that we could bear God's image to those around us. Another reason or purpose for us here on earth: preparing the world for the second coming of Christ. John the Baptist and John 1, 6 and 8, maybe we should turn to that. You know, John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord for the first coming. John 1, 6 through 8, or 6 and 8. Verse 6, John 1, 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." And, you know, we could put anyone's name in there because we're all sent from God. There was a man sent from God, or a woman. And then verse 8, "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." We're not the light. We don't deserve any credit or glory. But we're here to bear witness of that light. And as John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord in his first coming, so we should be ready and to prepare the way of the Lord for his second coming. We're here for a purpose. Prepare the world for the judgment of God like Noah did. It says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It doesn't really say how he preached. I'm sure he preached by his words, but also by his life. But he pled with the people. He tried to prepare them for the judgment of God. And though they rejected him and his message, he fulfilled his purpose. And like I tell my family sometimes, we can't make choices for people. But we can live the truth, speak the truth, and bring them to where they have to make a decision, where they either say yes or they say no. We can't make the decision for others. I had to think of somebody a number of years ago. We live on a as it were, a dead-end road. So coming out for church, we meet some of these people that go back in. And there's this man that used to run taxi, and he had a little farm back there. So we meet him Sunday mornings. And once or twice I stopped and just had a little word with him on our way to church. We'd meet him on the road or somewhere, and I'd say, I'd ask him a time or two, maybe it'd be good to go to church. Why aren't you going to church? Well, this is my only day out here. I have God in here. The rest of the week I'm busy, doing taxi work. Sunday I come to my farm, but I have God in here. It's not much to stop and speak with people. It don't take long, and maybe they might not always appreciate it, or they might not always take it good. Although he took it all right. I just reminded him a time or two. And I think every time he met me, he probably had to think about it. It brought up that decision again to him. Maybe I should go. A couple months later, he was murdered. He didn't have no more time to make any more decisions. But at least he did have a chance to make that decision. He had opportunity. Now, if I would have never stopped, never talked to him, then what? And so many times I think I miss opportunities. Do we really believe that there's a heaven? Do we really believe there's a hell? Do we really believe that people are going to end up in hell? Do we take the opportunities that come our way? We don't have to go far away. There are many needs around us. And wherever we go, there are needs. And like I said, in all of our life, throughout the day, God has us at certain places at certain times, because that's where he wants us. But if we're too involved with our things in our situations, then we miss those opportunities. I'd like to read, I was planning on reading a few more verses in Hebrews 11 down. Maybe I'll just quick skip some here. I'd like to read Moses here, about Moses. Hebrews 11:24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." I remember somebody speaking, I don't know if it was here or if it was down in Belize or where it was, but they gave this as a definition for wisdom. He had respect under recompense of the reward. And when we look at what Moses had, the opportunities he had, And yet the choice that he took, and so many people would say a foolish choice. And yet, looking at his life, we know it wasn't foolish. We can see the end results. But at the time, they could have made all kinds of excuses and said, well, if he would have stayed there, he could have helped the people more by being close to the Pharaoh. Maybe. But he walked away from what he had. And one thing that I know that I've experienced, the more I have, the harder it is to walk away from it. We look at the life of Christ, he didn't have a lot here on this earth. He told someone he don't even have a place to lay his head. And I don't think God expects us to live that way. And yet, there's choices we can make. Somebody I worked with last week or week or two ago, they said, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? I said, well, I don't think I want it. Now, here we go. Maybe this is the difference between talking and walking it. But I said, I don't think I want it. I wouldn't want it. But why not? Well, I'm not, I know I told him, I said, well, I don't think it'd be good for my children. But it wouldn't be good for me either. But you know, sometimes we can have things or do things or, but what about our children? We can have certain conveniences or whatever it might be. But what about our children? You know, and this purposeful living, it will help us in the question of technology. There's a lot of questions out there these days. A lot of things of how we should do things and what we should accept and what we shouldn't accept. But let's remember that our life has a purpose. And let's keep that purpose in focus. And let's do the will of him that sent us. I have a little poem here that I got to appreciate by Edward Dyer. And I'm going to close with that. It says, content I live. This is my stay. I seek no more than may suffice. These get with toil and keep with fear, such cares my mind could never bear. Some have too much, yet still they crave. I little have, yet seek no more. They are but poor, though much they have, and I am rich with little store. They poor, I rich. They beg, I give. They lack, I lend. They pine, I live. My wealth is health and perfect ease. My conscience. Clear my chief defense. My conscience clear, my chief defense. May God bless.